prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. And Magical Engineer Frank, are you ready? Ooh, he's ready. I'm ready. We got a great show, and thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to be talking about, first part of the show, robotic parasites. Mm-hmm. Big business in healthcare, so we're going to talk about that. And we have a brief crack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face of mind and time. It grows short. And let's see. The devotional today puts us in Colossians 1. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have been reconciled in the body of Christ through his flesh and death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight." That's right. So if you want to be found blameless before God at the judgment, seek the Lord's face in mind of time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, last but not least, here in the Quacker, cancer rates, they say, are climbing among young people, and they're not really sure why. Cancer, after all, most often in the United States, you know, you expect people over the age of 60 or 65 to get diagnosed with cancer. But now people in their 20s are coming down with major cases of cancer. Now, health authorities are calling it the early onset cancer epidemic. And this was due to a recent study that got published in the Journal of Nature Reviews Clinical Oncology. So they stated that there's an incidence of over a dozen different cancers that younger people since the 90s are getting. And this is not just the United States. This is in other countries as well. But in the United States, the rate of early onset cancer cases rose by 18% between 2000 and 2019. Among Americans between 15 and 39 years of age, there was a surge of pronounced cancer, topping about 20% increase. Incidence of breast cancer in America, people 15 to 39 went up 17%. And people over, with melanoma rates, they spiked 30%, colorectal cancer 45%. So trying to figure out what it is. Well, let's see. Could it be vaccines that give you cancer? Or could it be putting mRNA in your foods, vaccinating people with every bite? Could it be GMOs? Well, it could be a whole slew of things or all of the above. And they wonder what's happening. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Yeah, I'm with you, Frank. Frank said it's the GMO food, the adulterated food. Well, I mean, this is where you get into the latter days after the church age, where, you know, there's pestilence and disease, and people don't have any good food to eat. That's what's going on. All right, we're going to be talking about, oh, before we get into the topic, I want to say a big thank you to people that were sending me emails and calling me up, asking me how I've been. We had a little break, a personal break, a few days off, dealing with, again, my eye issue, but I'm seeking, I found a naturopath, Frank, who's a neurologist, who's deals with neurology because your eyes are part of your brain. So he said your eye issue with your cornea may be connected to your thyroid. So we're going for tests on Monday. So we're going to go see because I don't like the other option. You know, the corneal people, they just want to laser this and, you know, cut that. What'd you say, Frank? Frank says, and to the genetics in the food, which, you know, is messing up, you know, yes. Yeah. Well, you know, definitely, you know, recreating God's creation. That's what it's all about there. So thank you for your concerns and well wishes, and I'll keep you posted on me progress. All right, we're going to talk about robotic parasites. Now, medical science is experimenting with these injectable parasites that are robotic. So these are man-made. So the thing about robotics is they can be programmed to replicate. So we know that very tiny robots can be injected into a host and deliver even medication and even perform minor surgery. So why is science calling these micro devices robot parasites? That's kind of odd. Well, the devices are designed to operate like a parasite. So the medical definition of parasite is to live off its host and cause disease. Interesting. Let's look at some of the research. This is November 2020 research at Johns Hopkins University on microscopic devices that were used to deliver medications around the body. So the robots resembled hookworms, and they can latch onto intestines and release pain medications, time release pain medicine. So engineers at Johns Hopkins were inspired by the hookworm parasite for their delivery vehicle. That's what they modeled it after. The parasite robot has shape-shifting capabilities. It's kind of creepy. And it mimics the tapeworm latching on to your intestinal tissue. Here is a quote from David Gracias. He's an engineer, a professor at Florin Salaru. He's also an astrologist. He says, "We designed our robot to be like the hookworm, and it is a micro device called the Therogripper." So if you know anything about, you know, worm parasites of the intestine, they have teeth that kind of grab into the intestinal wall tissue and hang on there. So they're calling it the Therogripper. Isn't that quaint? So the robotic parasite has teeth like a parasite to dig into the tissue, and they're called six-pointed devices, size of a dust speck, microscopic. So the teeth are made of metal, and it's made with a film coating, allowing the device to change its shape. So a thin layer of paraffin wax is on top of the heat-sensitive it's on top for heat-sensitive release of the drug therapy. So the robot parasites allow for time-release drug therapy to specific areas, and the robots are programmed for the desired duration of the drug delivery. So let's see what David Gracias continues to say here in the study. He goes on to say, "We can deploy thousands of these devices. When the wax coating on the robot matches the body temperature, then these robots grip into the tissue and start releasing the drug as programmed." So these robots can be designed for any area of the body, colon, stomach, muscles, etc. I'm not really thrilled about having any kind of parasite, but they're making it for all things here. And so it's powered by the host. So according to the engineers, this parasite robot, they're powered by you. So there's no batteries, there's no wires, antennas, there's no wireless function to these microscopic robots. No electricity or external controls either. And these robots, they're temperature triggered, and the coating on the outside helps release stored energy. So to give you kind of a comparison of the size, the scientists can fit more than 6,000 of these parasite robots on a three inch silicon wafer. And the animal studies were said to be very successful. Oh, what'd you say, Frank? Frank is saying, and you know that for them to mention this, they have already released them. Yeah. They've been working on this for quite a while, actually. So here's some more research. This is 2017. This is Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, and they published some research on a parasite robot system. So the Korean parasite robot operates like a parasite and interacts like a parasite when it's in the host. So you got to know, Frank, that these scientists, you know, share information internationally, because you're going to have one world medical system eventually. So you got these engineers in the fields of medicine now. So the research in this field is often led by an engineer, as in the Korean study. So the Korean study actually tested external parasites first on animals to observe the interaction between the parasite robot and its host. And then the robots were programmed with algorithms. So in nature, the organic parasites can influence the host to produce a more favorable environment for it to breed in. Therefore, the engineers decided to design their robot parasite with behaviors that induce replication benefits. And they are programmed to replicate. That's right. And it gets creepier. In the Korean research, they were able to use the robots to train the animal host to perform by using stimulus rewards. So within 5 weeks, the robots could direct the movements of the host animal, and it's called waypoint navigation task. So if they use it in humans, maybe chemical rewards to your brain, it could influence brain function and behavior. Now, when used on aquatic animal life, it could control where fish swim or breed. And science has been testing it on turtles, birds, mice, and fish. Now, I had to ask myself, could this explain the swarms of birds that are found dead in Europe? Remember those in the news? Or what about the scores of sea mammals beaching themselves for no reason? Could it be, you know, were these like robot tests? The research, Dick, published in the May 2017 Journal of Bionic Engineering. So, you know, just making freaks of everything. Let's see, the Journal of Bionic Engineering stated this. This hybrid animal-robot interaction system could provide an alternative solution to the limitations of conventional mobile robot systems in various fields. And it could also act as a useful interaction system for the behavioral sciences. Ooh. I don't know. well, and will you know if you've got any of this stuff injected into you, you know? This may be, well, it's really my understanding that science presents these parasite robots as being so tiny, a patient won't even know that they're there. However, I believe that's not the case. I also believe that hospital patients have been injected with these robots without informed consent and are part of the human trial. So in one instance, a cardiac patient said he can feel them in his back and were possibly used to release a pain medicine. And he felt them in his head also. So he communicated that they are active at night for about an hour, and he winds up whacking his back with a back scratcher when they are most active, feeling kind of helpless to know what else he could do. But, you know, he can't prove anything because he was out for the surgery. So this is big research. It truly is. The parasite robots are not going to go away. There are numerous studies for various conditions using these parasite robots. And it is interesting why the engineers involved in these studies focused on parasites to model their technology after. Some people think it is kind of creepy, and I kind of agree. Other studies are modeling their technology after worms, another parasite. So the robots are being used to get rid of things like blood clots, to fight cancer, to deal with gout and kidney stones, to clean wounds and deliver medications. So these robots have a magnetic field around them, and it can be tracked by an MRI scan. So radioactive dye injections can also show you where they are. And other ways to find the little critters are X-rays, radio waves, microwaves, and heat. But, you know, these little bitty robots, Frank, they have tool belts. Yeah. Yeah. So it's tool time for the parasite robot. So depending on the job that the parasite robot is programmed to do, it will dictate the tools the robot is outfitted with. And some of the tools would be medicine cavities, where it would deliver time-release meds, probes, knives, chisels, microwave emitters to help target and kill certain cells, ultrasonic signal generator, which would use heat to destroy cells, and electrodes, current, to target and kill cells with a current. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that being in your bloodstream? Also, lasers to burn away material like plaque, cancer cells, blood clots, and any other material deemed harmful. But yeah, a little robot in your body with a laser. Here is a quote from the report in How Stuff Works, and they said this. The two biggest challenges and concerns scientists have regarding these small tools are making them effective and making them safe. I agree. So the possibilities are kind of endless with the micro technology in this healthcare area. And How Stuff Works goes on to say, nanobots could revolutionize medicine, but doctors could treat everything from heart disease to cancer using tiny robots the size of bacteria. Well, I think the robot technology has an ulterior ulterior agenda, and that is to recreate man. Yeah. Here is Dr. Richard Thompson. He's a former professor of ethics, and he says this, quote, "The potential future application of nanobot technology is to re-engineer our bodies and to become resistant to disease, increase our strength, and to even improve our intelligence." Yeah. You know, it's Steve Austin, the $6 million man, right? So medical science seems to promote this technology as if anything is possible and disease is going to become a thing of the past. So we heard the same optimism with the development of antibiotics, yet bacterial infections are now harder to treat. So, you know, it's really coming down to what do you trust out there? So this is the question people are asking today, is if they can trust the medical science or not. So I personally would not inject man-made parasite robots into my body, and I prefer to trust God's herbal medicine, as I'm encouraged in Scripture. So there are herbs for arthritis, gout, blood clots, kidney stones, cardio issues, and a whole lot more. So learning which herbs will benefit you is what we all should learn and be empowered by it. If you want to get started, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a free product catalog. You can call this toll-free number at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., the number is 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972. Of course, they do have a website. It's thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. They're in their Father's Day sale, so if you want to save 25% on orders of $55 or more, you want to use coupon DAD23 when you check out on their site or over the phone if you're ordering, or just simply write it on your order form if you have that. But you want to hurry. The sale does end on the 21st of June, and restrictions do apply. So happy Father's Day out there to all. Be well out there. Now, if you are on the website and you want to learn more and you want free educational information on a lot of the medicinals out there, sign up for their free online newsletters. Now, they are delivered by email, so you have to have email to get them. So what you do is you go to the powerherbs.com website, click on the Books and Newsletters tab, and that's under your categories. So hover over categories and it'll open up. And then once you get there, there's a couple of newsletters. You got the Health Quest and the American Survival. And you can decide if you want one or both, and they're both free. And you can click and put those in your cart and check out for free because they are free. Don't forget to add a free catalog when you do that. And, you know, empower yourself and, you know, share that information with family and friends. Now, the American Survival goes out on Tuesday and the Health Quest goes out on Friday. Now, we did have a bit of a problem this last week with the program that delivers those issues. They were down. It was Constant Contact. They delivered the newsletters for us, and their system was down. So if you did not get a newsletter this past week, that's the reason. So I believe it's up and working now. So I believe the Health Quest will go out tomorrow. So if you don't want to get a Health Quest, sign up for that, and it'll be in your inbox in no time. All right. So we got a few minutes before we go to a break. Since we're kind of talking about the parasite robots, which I think is so bizarre, I thought we'd kind of follow it through with a little bit on machines, the age of machines, if you will, because being more efficient, more cost effective is, you know, every business model these days. It's the bottom line. So the medical industry complex isn't any different, you know. So the auto industry, you know, started replacing human employees with robots in, what, 1962? Now by 1980, you know, several robot generations later, machines at General Motors were pretty common on the assembly line. The robot industry is growing pretty quickly. And in fact, they're was a new robot entering a new marketplace pretty much every month. So now we got artificial intelligence now in the mix, going to replace nurses, I was told just the other day. So the machine takeover is apparent. And why wouldn't any industry jump at this for long-term cost-saving options? You know, they wouldn't have to pay overtime. They wouldn't have to pay health insurance. They wouldn't have to pay a salary. They would just have to maintain the robots. So robots entering our marketplace, which have a potential of influencing life and death, are on the area of concern. That's right. So this modern healthcare moving in this direction to using a lot of machines and replacing 80% of their staff, including your doctors and surgeons, your anesthesiologists, and even dentists. Think about that. Frank, would you get in a dental chair and let an artificial intelligence robot in your mouth? Oh, I would totally freak out. I'm not doing it. So who was the guy that suggested, let's take robots off the assembly line and put them in the exam room and the operating room? Who was the brain that said that? So we're going to take a look at this and see what area of medicine is going to, what are they cooking up there. Now, Fortune magazine, they did a story on what the future of healthcare may look like, and they are convinced that technology will only improve the healthcare experience and help physicians do better jobs. So they really don't think that RoboDoc will replace the human carbon physician just yet. Dr. Kiosk is one step away. Fortune said this, healthcare today is often really the practice of medicine rather than the science of medicine. Interesting quote. So are we moving into a more ethical or unethical standard of healthcare? When we take the personal human element out of something, what are you going to be left with? So according to the Fortune magazine report, the University of Miami, Florida did a study in 2005 where they withheld aspirin and ibuprofen from a group of patients that developed a fever. So under their experiment, the group that did not get these drugs when a fever began had more successful recoveries and fewer deaths than the patients that were given these drugs. So the patients that did receive the drugs had temperatures of 101.3 degrees Fahrenheit, as dictated by the standard treatment protocol, and the trial was stopped by team leaders who felt it was unethical to allow patients to receive the standard treatment. Wow. Well, we got more on this, but we got to take a little break. More on the other side. Be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula.
formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
All right, bouncy music, Frank. Hey, did you miss the bouncy music? I did. I love bouncy music. Okay, getting back to our topic, the massive age of our machines here. So this study that was done at Miami, Florida University Hospital, where they had the two groups, some were given aspirin, ibuprofen for fever, and some weren't, and then they found that the people that didn't get those drugs did much better. So you have to ask yourself, will a programmed robot make a call like that? Don't know. So humans have a hard time breaking a habit or a tradition like, you know, dispensing aspirin for a fever. So how can we expect robots to stop a standardized treatment? You know, because they're only going to be as good as their programming, right? So experts in favor of more automation have really no problem with robots in medical practices, and they say that the artificial intelligence is going to cover any program issue. So I don't know which would be worse, a robot that is programmed to follow instructions or one that can arbitrarily decide to change procedures. Well, and, you know, the thing about aspirin, I always thought it was crazy. You know, aspirin lowers fever, and fever is your natural immune system defense, and that's where your antibodies are roaming around when you get to 101 temperature and you turn off that fever, the antibodies shut off. So you're sicker longer. Yeah. And, you know, then there's that liability question. Will we all know that, you know, contract clauses are used to protect caregivers from liability lawsuits. Who do patients sue when they're under the care of a machine? So there are lots of pros and cons, and there are two sides of the issue, and we can cover the human error part of, you know, practicing medicine concerns such as, you know, the sleep deprivation, the drug dependencies, the ethics, the morals, all part of the human condition. But we're told this would not influence a robo-doctor, Dr. Kiosk, not at all. Well, there is this basic concept that you can't have something that is created without having a creator. So the creator influences the creation. For example, there was a 1984 movie called Starman where Jeff Bridges played an alien, and he learned how to drive a car by watching the humans. So he was driving actress Karen Allen in this one scene where he ran a yellow light, and she called him on it, and he replied, "I watched you very carefully. Green light go, red light stop, and yellow green go very, very fast." So industry experts who are for more machines in the medical field point out your human error costs too much money and too many lives. So misdiagnosis is the primary argument there. Machines are going to have the other, you know, obstacles to deal with, such as, you know, patients lying to them or not remembering facts. So will they pick up on these and other subtle details? And so in taking advantage of this difference, I suppose robot marketing firms could produce an upgraded robot that has been around the block. And obviously, would cost more. Now, sure, robots can store the information of over 5,000 research articles on heart disease and recall over 10,000 possible human diseases. So the point is that with humans and healthcare, it is not only about data. Where the data science area can assess physicians is by utilizing this information more quickly, but there is really no substitute for experience and empathy. Also, the data that we do have, a majority of it has been obtained through trial and error, and I doubt robots will be capable of deciding to try something based on a hunch, right? A gut feeling. Would you say, Frank? Frank says, the same people we sue when a machine steals an election. Thank you, Frank. Also, misdiagnosis, he says, aren't these the guys who told us to trust your doctor? Well, malpractice insurance covers that, Frank, see? So what doctors won't be doing? Let's just think about this for a moment. In your, you know, immediate future of healthcare, what may the doctors not be doing? So, if our medical industry is going for a robot overhaul, the machines will pick up a whopping, let's say, 80% of the current doctor obligations, such as, you know, diagnosis, tests, return office visits, writing prescriptions, assessing patient behavior, and so forth. So the robots will be outfitted with sensors, data collection, analytical assessment programs, and other capabilities to help measure the patient complaint. Now, essentially, the robots will take over the initial contact with patients and formalize a treatment plan. So we're told that this will cut down on errors, overhead costs, and so forth. The description that you just heard me read is what general practitioners do. So your general practitioner physician may be out of a job. So some experts are calling this rebalancing our healthcare, saying that computers, machines, they're going to be better. They're going to be better at organizing, recalling, handling complex information than the flesh and blood professional would. They predict that the robots will bring an almost immediate 50% improvement overall to the healthcare system. And if doctors are to be replaced by machines, then so will RNs, lab technicians, and others also will be replaced. Now, Lifecom conducted a clinical trial where the computer platform was 91% accurate at a diagnosis without having to run laboratory tests or other studies. So the question I ask is, what happened to the 9% that they would have been properly diagnosed by a test, by a real-life blood and blood physician? What all this means really is that the data science technology contribution to medicine will take over the triage, the diagnosis, and the decision-making part of treatments. So this ultimately means we will need fewer doctors. Robots will not be sitting in classes or cramming for exams. Didn't you hear the other day that the artificial intelligence machine actually took an accounting exam and passed it? Yeah. Therefore, the medical schools will be probably ineffective. You'll probably see them all close. Ultimately, this means, you know, fewer doctors, more robots, no reason for a classroom. So the medical schools will be definitely affected by this. We're told that eventually if there are any humans in healthcare, it will be for their caring personalities rather than for their diagnostic treatment professional ability. Now, I guess bedside manner coming from a machine really doesn't cut it. Doesn't have that empathy element, you know what I mean? So they'll have people for that. However, that won't stop the computer wizards from designing the bedside algorithm. That's right. They may be able to build humor into the machine's program, but building and trusting a trusting relationship with healthcare providers, and they're being taken out of the equation. It's a plastic robot with, you know, computer parts. How can anybody have a relationship with that? Here's Dr. Julio Mayol, surgery professor, San Carlos Clinical Hospital in Madrid, who says data science has potential, but a great amount of information is not enough. The data collection should be able to lead machines to accurate conclusions. Otherwise, we'll get very precise wrong conclusions. End of quote. Well, again, we're back to who programs the thing. Well, let's look at some predictions. So we're also hearing from science divisions of healthcare that the technology is developing so quickly that many devices patients will be wearing and using and help monitor them 24/7. So the technology sector of healthcare wants to predict a patient's future. It is supposed to be a benefit to help prevent the risk of negative events. So the machines will comb through decades worth of data in seconds to determine a patient's risk factor and health future. Now, based on the predictions, patient treatment plans will be crafted and expected to be followed. So monitoring devices and medications will have kind of built-in sensors to alert medical authorities if the patient is complied with the treatment protocol. So the question is, how will patients react to being diagnosed, treated, and monitored by a giant supercomputer? Probably not very well. Will this usher in a new era where artificial intelligence is perceived to be superior to the humans? Probably. Will humans lose the ability to practice medicine while data science, all this data science-driven technology, takes over through this back door, if you will? So I can kind of see, you know, less money being spent not having to pay doctors and nurses and other health professionals will allow for more capital to be spent elsewhere, where it is spent. Well, it's anybody's guess. Here is Greg Ferner, medical consultant. He says, logic has the potential to make healthcare better, but only if resulting interpretations are applied by caring doctors and ones available in sufficient numbers to meet with and be a part of a patient's life. If medical practices were reduced to algorithms, five-year survival rates, it would dictate treatment producing plans, medical practices, implementing impenetrable ceiling, he says. The concepts of fighting on, breaking the odds, faith, hope, prayer would be vanquished from medicine, and the human race would be much poorer for it. End of quote. I tend to agree with Greg. Right? Here's some other areas we need to consider. Other areas where occupations are given over to computers are your autopilot aircraft, your stock exchange algorithmic trading, and the new self-driving cars that you've been seeing. How about what other areas may humans give up their involvement and employment and let computers take over? Here is Dr. Elliot Siegel. He's a medical doctor at University of Maryland School of Medicine. He says, computers often make mistakes, and sometimes ones as seemingly obvious as not knowing that Toronto is not a U.S. city. End of quote. Ooh. He's a critic, obviously. So each of us has the ability to care and look after our health. That is a God-given right, and that is being replaced little by little by licensed professionals that eventually will be technology. So the monitoring aspect of our current world lends itself to a long list of compliance issues, and the future will be what we allow it to be. So your healthcare choice today will determine what generations to come will be held to. So be bold out there, learn all that you can, strengthen your body, your organs, your immune system. You can do that right now with organic foods, regular exercise, and medicinal herbs. So prescriptions weaken, foods and herbs strengthen. Always remember that. God spoke it in his living word, and God can't lie. So you can trust God's word. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They can send you a catalog where they specialize in immune boosting, organ cleansing, metabolic strengthening type herb formulas, and you'll be amazed how empowered you're going to be. It's liberating, really. If you don't have to be, you know, hooked up to machines and taking a bunch of pills. All right, so we got a few minutes. So I'm going to share with you some interesting things about virology. Now, virology and virologists study pathogens, okay? So it can be kind of difficult sometimes to understand a lot of the scientific reports on vaccines that they're creating, and generally the public understands, you know, a basic difference between maybe a live and a dead virus. But what happens to the lab after that? What happens in the lab after that? And by the way, since they're putting mRNA in your lettuce, your foods, they're vaccinating people with foods, there's really going to be hardly any argument about attenuated, live, dead, you know, all these additives and vaccines. They're just going to say, eat it. So what do scientists do to the pathogens to create opportunities for discovery, notoriety, advancement? Well, are scientists tinkering with pathogenic materials for their own, you know, advancement? And are they risking human life in doing that? I'm going to say probably. So we're going to take a look at this. Now, according to the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations, there are reports on file in their depository that explain some of what scientists are doing with pathogenic materials. So there is a theory called the principle of vaccination, in which science suggests that the immune system in animals and humans undergoes an immunological response and it acts in such a way to be against the pathogens in the vaccines and help prevent disease. That's what we've been trained to understand. Well, this is not based on any clinical proof, according to former chief virologist of the FDA, Dr. Anthony Morris. So Dr. Morris, over a 10-year period while he was working at the FDA, went over the clinical trial evidence and reported it did not support what the scientific community was saying about vaccines, and especially about influenza vaccines, the viral vaccines. They're the most deadly to you, by the way. So the way vaccines are supposed to work, in theory or hypothesis, which really has not been adequately proven by scientific research to prevent or even reduce a pathogenic infection in clinical trials. So Dr. Morris, he did report that what he did see in all the clinical research was that the vaccines damage the immune system and or the central nervous system. So it would appear that the folks in charge of vaccines have produced some highly sophisticated propaganda to fool even the most brilliant in the medical community. How is that? How did that happen? All right, so science states that the basis to create a vaccine is to take a live virus, kill it, and inject it into lab animals, test it, and this is called an inactivated vaccine. Science also likes to take live viruses that are considered not to cause serious disease and infect lab animals with that. And this is known to be a live vaccine. So science does not leave matters there. They then take live viruses with desirable properties and they clone them. So this is called cloned live vaccine. And scientists also genetically engineer vaccines when they take a part of the genetic material from a live virus and insert it into a different virus, and this produces what is called a recombinant vaccine. So the four-strain influenza vaccines, let's say from 2015 and 16, was a recombinant vaccine. It was genetically engineered. However, people are really not told that they are getting a genetically modified flu shot. So when considering vaccines, there's three basic types: the live lentogenic vaccine, the live mesogenic, and the inactivated vaccines. So the live lentogenic vaccines are from a field of viruses, and the mesogenic viruses are moderately virulent and are used in animal husbandry. The inactivated vaccines are made from viruses grown in eggs and then treated with an inactivating agent, usually betapropolactone. So formalin, the agent, betapropolactone, is formaldehyde, by the way. That's how they treat it. And it's used as also a preservative, and it's a biological specimen at that point. So beta-propylactone is a compound from the lactone family or ester family and has been known to cause cancer. So add the adjuvants to this to make an inactivated virus immunogenic or to force the body's response from the immune system. So we're told that the inactivated virus cannot replicate or spread, and live virus vaccines are heat sensitive and transporting and storage more expensive for those. So that's where your mRNAs came in, because it was cheaper to make them. Didn't have to worry too much about them. So what are the recombinants? Well, your recombinant GM vaccines use protein antigens from bacteria or some pathogenic organism that have been purified by science. So the pure protein-based bacterial organisms in the vaccines produce an abnormal response from the immune system. So the design is based on the conceptual theory of how the human immune system functions, based on what science knows about it. So science does not know how the immune system functions in its entirety, and therefore they're pretty much guessing. And science thinks that the immune system will react to a recombinant vaccine by targeting protein antigens called epitopes. And basically, remember, the recombinant vaccine is a man-made mutation or genetic modification transforming one species of a pathogen into another. So it's sometimes called protein biochemistry, making one species host of an organism from another species not naturally found in nature using fragmenting the genes. So what science creates is a freak pathogenic protein and adds adjuvants to hyperstimulate the immune system response. So scientists are trying to use these freak proteins to target specific immune system responses or override the natural ability of the immune system to react health in a healthy way, thereby disabling a normal function called autoimmune disorder. So this could be why there are numerous cases of autoimmune disease. And science tells us this strategy removes all risk of infection from a live or an activated vaccine. But science also states the recombinant vaccines protect against secreted toxins released by the pathogen rather than protect against the infection from the virus or bacteria. Well, according to BioVentures of Global Health, the following vaccines are recombinant vaccines on the market for use: cholera, diphtheria, hepatitis B, tetanus, and according to vaccines.gov, the recombinant vaccines in development are HIV, rabies, and measles. Well, they're already on the market, so. Let me read you a few quotes. This is from Review Vaccination and Autoimmune Diseases. They said this: the association between infection and autoimmune disease has, however, stimulated a debate as to whether such diseases might also be triggered by vaccines. And Dr. Thomas Cowan, Weston Price Foundation, says a study called the J.B. and S.M. McKinley study showed that diseases such as tuberculosis, diphtheria, smallpox, and other childhood illnesses were declining by as much as 90% prior to the introduction of vaccines. So vaccines are tools. And from what I gathered from my brief discussion with Dr. Anthony Norris back in the 90s, they seed the body with disease to keep healthcare and drug companies in business. It's a business model treatment. Just like if you go for studies, it's sometimes a lot of these studies, the routine studies you go for, is really a marketing technique to sell your procedure. Well, I'm out of time. Don't forget the folks at Apothecary Herbs have their Father's Day sale in full swing, so save 25%. Details online at thepowerherbs.com or give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And don't forget to pick up a free product catalog when you're on their website. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.
Political, religious, and medical views presented on various shows heard on American